All right. I would like to read from Psalm 51. So if you've got a Bible, you might like to get it out, or your phone, and you've got a Bible app. That seems to be the way we are going. I just want to read, from Psalm 51. And then at the end of it, I'm just going to sit and just give us a moment or two just to really see where you feel you connect with the words of Psalm 51. I want to give us some time just to take a moment and see what words just jump out at you. So this is Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. But give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep me looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favour on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. We have an incredible God, and we've been singing about an incredible God who just loves us, who gives us so much grace. He teaches us so wisely. He brings light and grace and mercy, forgiveness, healing. A God who wants us to be whole in spirit, not broken. Now, I've asked James and Timothy, if you'd like to come up, they're going to come and they're going to help me. Thank you, boys. Come on up here. Awesome. Now, Timothy, if you'd like to pop that backpack on. Thank you. James, if you come round this side, just come round on this side. Cool. Because I'm just going to get you to help me put these rocks in. Is that all right? Then I'm not going to lose my place. Is it feeling nice and light at the moment, Timothy? It's not heavy? Awesome. Great. Okay. If you'd like to pick up one rock, any one, James, it doesn't matter which one, put it in that backpack. Now, this rock represents what we sometimes call a white lie. You know, the time we say to our friends when they turn up and they say to us, do you like my haircut? And you take one look and you think, yeah, it's great. Can you put another rock in? Thanks, James. Another lie. Okay. And what about the time we say, to respond to our friend when they ask us to come round for coffee or a play date, or and we respond in a way that says, sorry, I can't, I've got to pick up my dog from the vet. Could you put a rock in? And then your friend says to you, but I thought your dog died. So then you say, we've got another one. Can you put another rock in? To which a friend then says, cool, can I come and see it? Well, we've really now dug a hole for ourselves. How's, is the bag getting a bit heavier now? It's not. Oh, feels heavy. It must be your strength with all those muscles. Okay, so the bag's getting hopefully heavier with those lies mounting up. Something that seemed just, you know, a small, harmless lie has turned into something a little bit bigger. But what about our sins like spending unwisely? Could you put another rock in for me, James? Or what about addictions? Can you put, just keep piling them in now, James? Like shopping and gambling, pornography, gossiping. Or what about those idols that Richard spoke about a few weeks ago that we place before God all the time? Our backpack, hopefully now, is getting, can you feel that? You can feel that getting a bit heavier. It is getting quite. And I think probably if you started to walk around here, it's probably going to get quite hard. It might be okay for the first little bit, but then it's going to feel quite weighted, quite weighted. God doesn't want us to carry our backpack, our burdens, all the things that we've done, the lies, the things we shouldn't have done, all those wrong mistakes. He doesn't want us to have that horrible yoke. Yeah, keep putting them in, James. He doesn't want that yoke around our necks. He wants us to be released, and he provides a way to do that. I'll just take this. You can take it off now. Thanks, Timothy. And he releases us through what his son has done for us. Well done, guys. You can go and have a seat. Thank you very much. It was awesome. At any time, we can go and we can ask God for forgiveness. So the horrible, heavy load that's on our shoulders, that yoke around our neck, is completely removed. It doesn't mean that we're going to be without consequence. I dare say if Timmy kept walking around, he's going to have quite a horrible sore back at the end of that. But we are set free from the weight, the burden. Our punishment is gone. We see this freedom from time to time in the Old Testament, where God releases people. And one of the people we hear a lot about is David in the Old Testament. And for quite some time, we see David doing really well. When he listens to God, he's blessed. When he follows the commandments, he's blessed. But David, in some ways, thankfully, is not perfect like us. He makes mistakes, and he makes some real doozies. He makes some pretty big ones. In fact, he goes as far as killing someone, having them murdered, to cover up his mistake. And I dare say his backpack is very full and very, very heavy. But rather than read chapters 11 and 12 from 2 Samuel, I've got a really short clip that we are just going to show now, which will just give us a bit of an insight as to why David writes Psalm 51. Thanks, Alan.
And it's right here, in the midst of all this divine blessing, that things go horribly wrong. David makes a fatal mistake. Not fatal for him, but for a man named Uriah, one of David's prized soldiers. So from his rooftop, David sees Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, bathing. David finds her, he sleeps with her, gets her pregnant. And then he tries to cover the whole thing up by having Uriah assassinated and then marrying her. It's just horrible. So when David's confronted by the prophet Nathan about all of this, he immediately owns up to what he's done. He's broken, he repents, he asks God to forgive him, and God does forgive him. But God doesn't erase the consequences of David's decisions. And so as a result of this horrible choice, David's family, his kingdom, it all falls apart. And it makes this section a tragic story, much like Saul's downfall.
Okay. So as we can see, David has really stuffed up quite big time. He really, really has. He's committed adultery, which is punishable by death, but then he's also gone to considerable lengths. Like, if you go and read those chapters, it is incredible what he does to cover up this, to cover up this, to cover up this. You know, it's just horrendous. Actually, but in saying that, I certainly don't want you to judge me, so I am very aware. And we've got to be so careful of that, eh? We start pointing the finger and think, ooh, what's pointing back at me? Anyway, moving along. So he goes to the point of having Uriah murdered. Uriah is completely innocent. Okay. So David's backpack, I'm pretty sure, is very, very heavy. It's a massive burden. He's tried to attempt to hide it, from those around him, and probably trying to tell himself that, you know, he hasn't done anything wrong. When David had heard, heard that Bathsheba was pregnant, he really should have seen it as a prompt to come clean, to repent. But David did what I think at times we all do. We try to hide, and we hide the wrong that we've done. But the concept of hiding our sin is just one of total deception. We can think that we might hide it from those around us, and maybe sometimes we succeed. And with difficulty, we may even be able to sort of hide it in our conscience. But our sin is never hidden from God. All our sin does is hinder our relationship with Him and others. It's a real barrier to our spiritual life. It can be scary, in fact, terrifying at times to own up, to confess. You know, those times when your heart is beating so fast and you feel sick and you're so afraid of the consequences of what's going to happen. But that is where I believe Satan wants us to believe that we have no other option. Now, he really wants us to think there's no way out. You know, he really, really wants to, you know, say, you know, in the back of our mind, no, you can't say there's no other, you know, it's a big, big lie. He doesn't want us to be healed. He wants us to remain damaged. He's cunning. You know, he couldn't tempt David with the whole package all at once. He tempted David very small piece by small piece by small piece. David's mistakes, sins growing in number, in ruthlessness, just desperation. David was afraid to face the consequences, and he was tricked too and just thought there was no way out. But for David, God stepped in, and he sent Nathan. And following Nathan's visit, when David admits his guilt, is what we hear in Psalm 51, that cry of repentance, that cry of ownership, the acknowledgement of God's love for him, the mercy he receives. And I'm sure he must have had a real sense of relief. We could picture a man who, back bent over, shoulders up, tight and high, maybe sort of walking along, shuffling, you know, not being able to really lift your feet up high, possibly looking over your shoulder all the time. I'm not convinced, though, that David may have realised that that's what's happened. And I think sometimes we don't realise that that's what's happened. Satan is so deceptive and so cunning. But thankfully, through our incredible God, when we seek and ask his forgiveness, we receive incredible healing and incredible freedom. The damage and harm that we've made from not seeking forgiveness is removed, wiped clean, because Jesus has paid for our mistakes. The best outcome when we muck up is confession and repentance, and yet there's going to be consequences we've got to face, just like David had to face. But we don't do it alone. We do it with God, right? Here, holding our hand, walking with us. Now, he does that journey. He doesn't desert us. He doesn't walk away from us. And when we do this, when we walk with him, when we confess, when we repent, and we acknowledge what we've done, then the weight, the release. And I'm sure David felt he could stand a little bit taller. I'm sure he could walk more freely. I'm sure he could think more clearly. And he showed he didn't just start thinking of himself, he began thinking of others, of wanting to tell others about God. So he started to, you know, we start thinking about other people other than just ourselves. We're able to face the consequences, and we learn from them. And with the knowledge that that we are with God, that we're not alone, we can walk a new path. Though this psalm does not speak directly on seeking forgiveness from those that we've hurt, We really do need to do this. And if I'm really honest, this is an area that sometimes I feel really find hard because my pride gets in the way. And I sometimes need a little bit of a judgment. You can come and join me. And I need people to help me to do that. But Jesus does say that if your brother or sister has something against you, go and be reconciled with them. It's found in Matthew 5. He's all right. He's fine. And the other thing, the other person we need to forgive is ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. To be whole, we've got to learn to forgive ourselves. So just before I finish, I want to diverge just very, very slightly. David, like so many of us, he tried to separate his personal life from his professional life, his religious self from his public self. And as it eventually did for David, and it does for many of us, it threatens to tear us apart. We, and I include myself definitely in this, we can't divide our loyalties and ourselves when we want to be in relationship with God. We can't be a Christian on Sundays and then non-Christians in our working weeks. Even if we tithe regularly, we help out in church, different needs and volunteering. If we take advantage of others, if we abuse our powers at work, home, university, school, then we despise the word of God. But I want to leave on a very positive, wonderful, confident note. The good news is God is always calling us back to be whole and undivided selves, united within ourselves in our commitment to God. God paid the ultimate price for our sins through the birth, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is how much he loves us, how much he wants to be in relationship with us, how much he wants us to be whole and healed. So this morning I just leave with you some courage, some hope to seek forgiveness, asking God from others and yourself.